Last time we had finished the second chapter of Nehemiah, so this evening we're starting the third chapter of Nehemiah. As you remember, Nehemiah now has gotten back to Jerusalem. He has gone out and surveyed the walls and seen the places that have been broken down and need to be repaired, and checked the gates. Went out and did this by night while he was alone. And then he let the people know that they were going to have to make the repairs of the walls. And the enemies round about had laughed at him and despised him and tried to mock and even bluff them out of this job. And he closes chapter 2 by saying, "Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." Simply telling these people who are the enemies of God's people, telling them that they didn't have any right nor any part nor any place in Jerusalem. They had no, it was not any of their affair, and they were not going to be allowed to change or alter this program at all. Now, this third chapter is primarily dealing with simply naming the names of those who worked on different portions of the wall. That's what this entire third chapter is devoted to. So we're just going to kind of read through the third chapter and maybe make a few comments, but not really delve too much into it, because there's so many of these things that are mentioned here that we don't know anything about. So that's what our third chapter is about, and we'll just kind of go through it and skip through some of it. Chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it." Now this sheep gate was probably the gate through which they brought the sacrifices in to bring to the temple. It was probably located close to the temple. And it was appropriate that the priest would begin the work on the wall. And it was also appropriate that they would work on this portion of the wall, which is where the sacrifices were brought in. And it says they sanctified it, which means they blessed it for the purpose of bringing the sacrifice in through the wall, or through this gate. And to sanctify means to set something apart or to cleanse it for a purpose. Then he goes on in verse 2 and says, "And next to him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them the men of Zachar, the son of Imri," and so on. Verse 3, they talk about the fish gate, and we don't know which gate that was, or really what gate that has reference to. And so we're going to skip on down to verse 7. "And next unto them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibbon and Mizpah, under the throne of the governor on this side the river." Now before Nehemiah came, there was a series of governors who was ruling in Jerusalem, and this has reference to the residence or the throne of the governor. These governors would, as I understand it, were appointed by the Persian government to rule over this area. And so now here, there's a reference made to that. In verse 8, there's a reference made to the goldsmiths. And goldsmiths refer to a group of craftsmen or artisans that have been way back in the Jewish nation, those that dealt with the working of fine metals, the working of gold, artifacts, and as we know, even today, the Jewish people have a great reputation as being jewelers. This may very well be where the name jewel and jewelry comes from the name Jew, J-E-W, because they were quite proficient, even from ancient times, in the dealing with that type of craft. And so this makes a mention of the goldsmiths and of the part of the wall that they worked on. Then he says, next to him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem under the broad wall. Now, this word apothecaries has reference to those that dealt in spices and drugs, and it shows another area of Jewish society and life, those that would deal with the spices and the drugs and such things as the embalming material used to prepare the bodies before burial. And there was a whole faction there known as the apothecaries. Verse 9, and next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Now, this I want to point this verse out because it mentions the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. There was Jerusalem was divided into two parts, and one ruled one half and one ruled the other half. We see down in verse 12 where he speaks of Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughter. So Shalom ruled the other half, just a reference to how the city was divided and how it was being ruled at that time. In verse 13, he talks about the valley gate was repaired by Hanum and the inhabitants of Zanoah, and this city of Zanoah was a town in the tribe of Judah. And then he also talks about the dung gate in that verse. And the dung gate was probably the gate through which the trash and refuse of the city was hauled out to be placed in the valley of Gehenna, there to be destroyed by fire. Then again in verse 14, but the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth-Hakkerem, and this town is in the tribe of Benjamin. In verse 15, he makes mention at the end of that verse, and the wall of the pool of Shiloh by the king's garden, and under the stairs that go down from the city of David. This pool of Shiloh is one that's mentioned in the Bible. Other places, and the stairs that go down from the city of David, they say that today you can still find the remains of that in the wall in modern times. Over in verse 19, talking about the turning of the wall, they claim that you can find this place known as the turning of the wall in modern times. And this mention of the stairs that go down from the city of David is also indicative of the fact that the city of Jerusalem was built with many hills around and included in the city. And so to go from one part of the city to the other, you would have to be either going up or down hills many times. And the stairs indicate that is a part of that fact. Now, we're skipping on down. Verse 19, he talks about the armory. This is probably a place where they stored their weapons for warfare, their spears and swords and breastplates. Verse 20 talks about Barak, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired the other piece. And this indicates that this man worked more diligently than usual to have been given the description of earnestly doing this. And then verse 22 makes a mention of the men of the plain. And there were some priests who lived outside of the city, out in the plain. And this probably has reference to them. Verse 28 makes a mention of the horse gate, showing that they did have horses, and they were used enough that there was a gate that was known as the horse gate. So we see how this entire chapter then is just simply showing which parts of the wall were being repaired by what group of people, and he names out here exactly the portion that each one repaired. And I would presume that 10, 50, 100 years after this, you could go back to the wall and take what Nehemiah had written here and know exactly which part of the wall had been repaired by what group of people. Just like today, we can go into a community or a public building and we can see a little sign on the door that says this room was furnished by so-and-so and this room furnished by so-and-so and kind of a memorial. And that's what this chapter would seem to mean to me, that the work that was done on the wall It serves as a memorial for those who worked on the different portions of the wall. Now let's go into chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1.